Hebrews chapter number 11. Mike's moving on me here. He wants to get closer. Amen. And praise the Lord. Spitting rains right there. Amen. And Hebrews chapter number 11. And looking at a few verses of scripture this evening. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And I'm thankful for God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And the Bible tells us that it's profitable for us. And it is. And I'm thankful that we have a Bible. We think about so many people around the globe that do not have a Bible in their own language. They don't have it readily available, and we have a Bible, and we can be helped and know that thus saith the Lord, amen, and holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and I'm thankful that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We don't have to argue about who the human penman was. We know that the divine author is God, amen, and I'm thankful for that. Hebrews 11, look at verses 17 through 19 with me. The Bible says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried. And I want you to focus on that statement this evening, and I'll share with you why as we get through the message. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, notice the Bible says this, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. As we look at these few verses of scripture this evening, I believe that they're certainly profitable for us in a number of ways, but we can think about the application here this evening. It's something that all of us deal with. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Have you learned yet that trials are part of life? Trials are part of life. And some preacher of yesteryear said you've either just gone through a trial, you're in the midst of a trial, or there's a trial that's brewing that you're getting ready to enter into. He likened it to a storm. And sometimes we use the same thing. We just sang the haven of rest. And thinking about the storms that will come. And the psalmist talks about the storms in the sea and how it brought the sailor to their wit's end because it was so severe and so intense. And we find that trials are part of life, but here's the reality that trials come at different times and they come in different ways. Not every trial is the same trial for everybody. It's not always going to be the same in your life. It's not a cookie cutter kind of thing. The trials come at different times in different ways. And oftentimes we might say this, that trials come when we least expect them or maybe when we think we least need them. Right? You understand what I'm saying? You ever have a trial and say, I don't need this right now. I don't have time for this right now. And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said, if need be. And only God knows what you need, and he knows exactly what we need and when we need it. We find that as we have studied through, not only here on Wednesdays and thinking about this theme of living by faith, we've been reminded, even as we've studied through the book of James on Sunday mornings, that especially when we're studying through chapter number 1, that trials are not designed to destroy us. Trials are designed to develop us. And sometimes if we're not careful, we have this perspective that this thing is going to kill me, and this trial, it's too big for me, it's too great for me. The reality is it is on your own. It's way too big for you. But God has a purpose in it, and God's intention is that we would be developed, obviously, for his glory. I believe that we could say this evening that we've lived long enough to go through enough storms in our own lives, enough trials, but we've also been able to observe and to be aware of the destructive effects that trials have had in the lives of others. Maybe there's somebody that you know this evening that used to sit in a church and used to be faithful, and a trial came and it just destroyed them. The book of Proverbs in chapter 24 and verse number 10 says that if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I believe it's talking about spiritual strength. There you can make an application of physical strength if you want, but I think it's talking about spiritual strength, and I know we're talking about faith, but we think about the inner man being strengthened in the faith, and here's what I believe this evening, that oftentimes what happens is the trial exposes the lack of faith. The trial exposes the lack of faith. When do you prepare for the trial? Well, not when the trial comes. The preparation takes place way in advance. That's why it's important that we walk with God every day of our lives. We don't decide to start walking with God because the trial comes today. We have a walk with God, and God is building our faith, and God is increasing our faith, and God is proving himself to us and helping us to understand that he's trustworthy and that we can trust him no matter what comes our way, storm or otherwise. And we find this evening that the lack of faith that is exposed by those that would become, I'll use the word this evening, a casualty in the midst of the trial. Can I tell you this at the onset this evening? I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want you to be a casualty. But here's what I know. We're all going to face trials. You might be here tonight saying, I'm right in the middle of a trial right now. I understand. And I hope that as we study these three verses of Scripture that it will help us, three very practical principles that we see in verse 17, 18, and 19 that I hope will help us, because here's what I believe this evening. The Lord desires that his children, those of us that are born again, that we are saved by the grace of God, his desire and his plan for us is that we would have faith through the trial. That we'd have faith through the trial. How does that happen? Or how do we ensure that we are able to go successfully with God through the trial and see what God's plan is for us? So I've titled the message very simply this evening, Faith Through Trial. Faith through trial. As we look here, we've talked about many times in this chapter already, by faith so-and-so. And this evening, we could say by faith Abraham, but we already preached that message in verse number 8. And now we see another reference, by faith Abraham. But I focus on that phrase when it says, when he was tried. When he was tried. We won't go back and spend a lot of time in Genesis chapter 22, but that's the record that you'd need to look to understand exactly the context of what's being dealt with and what's being focused on here in the life of Abraham at this particular time. And so when we look at this text, the Bible says in verse 17 that when he was tried, notice the next phrase, it says, offered up Isaac. If you're taking notes this evening, just again, some practical things that I think will help us, because God wants us to have faith through the trial. Number one, continue to obey the Lord. In the midst of the trial, continue to obey. Can I say this tonight? Trials are no excuse for disobedience. It is not valid to say, well, I'm going to disobey God because I'm in the middle of a trial. No. We need to obey God. And we need to continue to obey the Lord even when the storm comes, when the storm is raging. Obedience is critical. And why do I talk about obedience with regard to the faith here? Because faith is demonstrated through our actions. How do we know that Abraham had faith? How do we know that Abraham had faith is because he offered up. He went to Moriah. He left the house. When God said to him in Genesis chapter 22, get to a place that I'm going to show you and offer up your son, he went. The action, the trusting God, the faith, the taking God at his word, the trusting him and following him. And we find that in the midst of this trial, as Abraham is being tried, he continues to obey. The Bible says, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, that's Abraham received the promises directly from God. It says, offered up his only begotten son. We sing the song, Trust and Obey. And we ought to sing the song, and we can rejoice in the message that is communicated to us through that song. There's no better way to show that we believe than to trust and obey. And we think about that obedience. Listen, there's too often that people face trials in life, and they use the trial as an excuse to disobey. They begin to justify things. They begin to justify why they can't obey the principles that God has given to us in his word because they're dealing with a trial. They have a financial trial, so they justify not tithing because they have a financial trial. They have some other trial, and they justify not going to church because they have this trial. They begin to they excuse their disobedience because they're in the midst of a trial. Who allowed the trial? God. God has a purpose for the trial. Think about Abraham just for a moment. I said we're not going to spend a lot of time in Genesis 22, but flip there quickly, and I just want to read a couple of verses. We don't have time to develop all of it this evening, but we find that in Genesis chapter 22, in verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." In verse number 2, God gives him the instruction. It's very straightforward. God says, it says in verse 2, "And he said," God speaking to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." He obeyed. He obeyed. Have you ever really stopped to think about Abraham in this situation? Everything that Abraham had experienced, all the 25 years of waiting and all that's going on, and yet Abraham obeyed. He just obeyed the Lord. And so this evening we begin to think about the trials that we're facing, the trials that we will face. We have to determine that we're going to continue to obey the Lord. Look in the book of Philippians, if you will, Philippians chapter number 2. In this portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is commending the believers at the church at Philippi. And of course, Paul had a great opportunity to serve there in Philippi. And God worked in an amazing way. And I think as Paul is writing the letter back to the church at Philippi, that he's probably have memories that would flood into his mind. And he's writing this letter back. And I want you to notice what he says about obedience in Philippians 2 and verse number 12. The Bible says this, "Wherefore, my beloved," notice this phrase, "as ye have always obeyed." Then notice what he says, "not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." I'll get to the end of the verse in just a moment, but I want you to notice what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, I want to commend you because you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only. You know, there's some people that obey because of somebody else being around, right? We understand that. Sometimes we're quick to point at kids for living that way. But you know what Moses did when he was going to kill that Egyptian? He looked over here and he looked over there and he thought no one was looking, so he went ahead and took care of it, right? Yes or no? Yeah. So what I'm saying is that he says, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. The Mary said this in John chapter number 2 to those servants at the marriage of Cana. She said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you," speaking about Jesus, "do it." What is that? Obey. Whatsoever he saith. So then Jesus says, "Go fill those things up with water." Okay. Okay. "Go draw it and deliver it." Okay. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And so we find that he says that he's commending the obedience, and we, when we're in the midst of a trial, we need to obey the Lord. And we find at the end of the verse, it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now listen, don't miss it. It doesn't say work for your salvation. People get all kinds of sideways. They read a verse of Scripture and they take it out of context and they get all kinds of messed up. It doesn't say work for your salvation. It says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then notice verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So God's working in you, but we're told that we're to work out our own salvation. So what God has done in us needs to come out. That's why we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen? And that's that outward expression. Again, we're not doing those things to be saved, to stay saved. No, we're doing it because we love our Master and he's given us the ability. I'm going to preach on freedom on Sunday morning. We got Memorial Day coming up and we talk about freedom, and I'm thankful for the freedom that we have in Christ. Amen? And it's so much better than the freedom that we have in America. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for the freedom that we have in America. But listen, sometimes what happens is people misunderstand freedom. Freedom isn't a license to do whatever you want to do. And if you think so, go read Galatians 5 and verse 13. Freedom is now I have the freedom to serve Christ. I have the freedom to live for Christ. I have the freedom to work for Christ. Hallelujah, man. Because beforehand, guess what? I was bound by sin. And so we find here that he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's that. He says that God's working in you, but you are to be his workmen. You are to do, you are to obey. And Paul says to these believers in Philippi, he says that you're obedient. Praise God. So what did Abraham do? Well, the first principle that we learn when he was tried is that he obeyed. He obeyed. If anybody might be given a pass for justifying their disobedience, it might be a discussion that we'd have right here in this text of Scripture. Now, we know no one gets a pass for disobedience. But if you want to try to justify it, you say, listen, he waited 25 years for that boy. I mean, God, you understand what I'm saying? But the Bible just tells us that he obeyed. That's a great principle for us. When you and I are in the midst of a storm, a trial, obey. Just obey God. Number two, let me say this from verse number 18. The Bible says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Number two, we must focus on facts, not feelings. Focus on facts, not feelings. You know what happens when you're in a trial? You don't feel good. You know what happens when you're in a trial? You start dealing with your feelings. You start getting overwhelmed. You start getting down and all those types of things. Why? Because you got all these emotions and these feelings that are going on in the trial. But when you're in the midst of a trial, you must focus on facts, not on feelings. What was the fact? Well, the fact was that God had given him promises. We read that in verse 17. It says, offered up Isaac and he that had received the promises. And so Abraham had received some promises. We know about the promises that Abraham had received. And it says in verse number 18, it specifically tells us, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Go offer up Isaac. Focus on the facts, not the feelings. Focus on the fact that God is good. Listen, your circumstances and my circumstances might not always be good. Would you agree with that? But God is always good. God is always good. God is faithful. God has a purpose. You say, yeah, but I don't know what the purpose is. It's okay, God does. Trust him. Have faith in him. Believe him. So when there's this situation that's going on in Abraham's life and he's facing this instruction that God has given to him to go offer up his son, the reality is that he understands God said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Guess what? That's not going to change. It's a fact. Can I tell you this evening, God loves you. Do you believe it or not? God loves you. What can separate us from the love of God? Go through a whole list. Nothing. Right? You begin to think about the love of God and how blessed we are to know the love of God and to understand the love of God. The book of Ephesians talks about having this greater understanding of God's love for us. And here's the reality this evening. God loves you even in the midst of the trial. That's a fact that we must hold on to. Why? Because the enemy is going to try to whisper in your ear. The enemy is going to try to get you to doubt what God has said. The enemy is going to try to get you to think that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't know where you are. Listen, is it true that the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon him? Why? For he careth for you. Well, I'm in this trial and no one cares. No one knows. No, God cares. Focus on the facts. The fact is that God loves you. The fact is that God cares about you. The fact is that God has a purpose. Look at this in Philippians chapter number 1. Look at what the Bible says. We've looked there in Philippians chapter number 2. But look in Philippians 1. This is Paul's testimony as he's giving to the church about some of the difficulties that he's faced and he's dealing with. And here's what the Bible says in Philippians 1 in verse number 12. He says this, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now let me ask you this. We won't take the time to go over and look at 2 Corinthians 11 and go through the whole list and what have you. But the things that happened unto Paul, could we honestly say some of those things and categorize them as trials? Would that be okay this evening? And what does Paul say? It had fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. God had a purpose. God had a plan. And in that trial, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, if you will. Notice what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And again, this is a perspective that the Apostle Paul is trying to help us understand and trying to communicate what he has dealt with and how he has been able to be in a place that though they faced many difficulties and though there's been many trials, that they fainted not, that their inward man has been renewed day by day. Look in verse 17. Paul says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Listen, you know what Paul believed that was a truth, that was a fact and not a feeling? The fact was that God was working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's the fact. The feeling, Not so pleasant, I understand. But listen, don't focus on your feelings when you're in the trial. Focus on what you know to be true. By the way, what is truth? Well, Jesus is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? Well, God's word is truth. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth, in John 17. And so we find this evening that we have truth. Aren't you thankful for the truth that we have? And we must recognize this evening that we have to focus on the facts. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Just follow your heart. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Yes or no? You heard somebody say that? Well, what happens when you hear somebody say that? Oh, I cringe. Like, that's a bad idea. The heart is deceitful, right? Above all things, it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, don't follow your heart. That's a bad, bad, bad counsel. Proverbs 28 and verse number 26, in that passage of Scripture there, in that verse of Scripture, the Bible tells us this about the one that would trust in his own heart. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." That's pretty direct. But our heart is deceitful. I just had this feeling. No. You better focus on the facts. Amen? Feelings are going to get you in trouble. Facts are going to get you through the trial. What are the facts? What has God said? God is good. He's always good. Look at it with me in Romans chapter 8. I know tonight that if I asked you, many of you could quote the verse of Scripture that we're going to look at. In Romans chapter number 8. And I don't want to quote it this evening because I want you to read it. Sometimes it's good to quote Scripture. Sometimes it's good to see it in black and white. How many of you have ever heard this verse this way? All things work together for good. Right? What are the first three words in your Bible? "And we know." So often, the verse is quoted without those first few words. Now, I'm not trying to be overly critical, but what I'm trying to tell us this evening is that the Bible says, "And we know." Listen, there's some things that God has told us that are facts that we have to have deep-seated in our hearts. "And we know that all things," not most things, not some things, not certain things. No, he says all things. Now, I don't understand how it all works. I'm just going to be honest with you this evening. I'm not God, and neither are you, by the way. Some of y'all might think sometimes you got it figured out, and then you go through a little something and you find out you don't have it figured out. Amen? And here's what the Bible says, that all things work together for good. I don't know how God is able to take all of these things and work them together, but he's God. And he has all power and he has all wisdom and he is able to do what he only can do. And we know that all things, I used the illustration this morning over in the Wednesday morning Bible study. There are some times that I get home from the office and dinner isn't quite finished. And sometimes I'm not super wise and I'll hang out there in the kitchen and I'll watch Holly add some things and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you adding that? And she's like, don't you have something to do? Amen. But here's the thing, right? She's the one that's cooking. She's the one that's bringing all these things together. And I might come in and see it and be like, that is not going to work. But I'm not the chef. On a much greater scale, the God of the universe who spoke everything into existence, that has all power and all wisdom and all knowledge, that the God that loves us beyond any ability for us to fully comprehend, he told us, and we need to have, as it says here, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's for our good, but ultimately and supremely, it's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. Listen, you can think about some of the things that happened to Paul. You say, man, he was, start listing the things that he faced. He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was this, he was that, imprisoned, so on and so forth, beaten, all these things that he suffered. But guess what? You know what happened? The gospel went forward. We have the gospel today because eventually it got over into Europe as Paul went forth on those missionary journeys. It eventually got over to Europe and you trace it and figure it all out. Listen, I'm thankful that there were some people that understood the importance of putting some feet to their Christianity and going out and living out their faith. Going and making disciples, going and preaching the gospel to every creature. Amen. Listen, I'm thankful to be going to heaven. Praise God. I can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be a glorious day to see my Savior face to face. Man, what a day that will be. But man, there's a lot of people that we need to reach with the gospel because they're going to die and go to hell without Christ. And here's the reality. We all are indebted to somebody that obeyed. Right? So who are we going to impact by obeying? And so we begin to understand here this evening, we're going through the trials by faith. Abraham, when he was tried, when he was going through that trial, he obeyed according to verse number 17. He focused on facts as we look in verse number 18. And it's important for you and for me this evening to understand that we must continue to obey God. Don't allow, do not come to the place where you get comfortable with excusing your disobedience because there's a trial in your life. No. God expects us to obey. Focus on the facts, not on the feelings. Write them down, quote them, rehearse them, read them, pray them. Amen? I mean, you just get in the Bible and you get the truth of God's word in you. You just pray God's promises back to him and you just rehearse those things. Why? Because these are facts. I'm not going to listen to what the enemy wants to tell me in the midst of the trial. God doesn't love you anymore. No, God does love me. Amen? We got to use those words like Jesus did. Get thee behind me, Satan. Right? Amen? Focus on the facts, not on the feelings. Number three, back in Hebrews 11. How are we going to have faith through the trial? I don't want to become a casualty. I've seen far too often that people have a trial in their life and they become a casualty. It's unfortunate. I'm not being critical this evening. I'm not being critical. It breaks my heart. It's not God's plan. It's not God's design. But the trial exposed the lack of faith. This evening, I want to have faith through the trial. When we're tried, because we know the trials are going to come, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, according to Job. And so we come to verse number 19, and we see the third point this evening. Number three, if you're taking notes, expect God to work. I love verse 19. Accounting that God was able. Was able to do what? Well, the Bible says that Abraham, it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This is amazing to me. See, we need to expect God to work because God is able. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. Now, listen, this evening, you and I, if we've read our Bibles, if we've studied the scriptures, we understand that there are records, there are testimonies of those that have been raised from the dead. But when Abraham took Isaac up to the Mount Moriah, as far as we know, there was no person that had been raised from the dead. Amen? Now, we can think of Elisha. We can think of widow's son that was dead and how he was raised up. You can think about the one that was killed in battle that was put in the prophet's pit and he hit the body and he rose up. And you can think about the times in the Gospels when Jesus goes in and he heals people. But then when he raises people from the dead, you can think about when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." You can think about the own Jesus, his resurrection. He conquered sin, death, and the grave. And we can have all these examples and we know them and we can read them and we can go and we can look at the scriptures. But Abraham was in a place where he had never seen it. He had never heard of it. But you know what he understood? He understood this. God said, "I am the Lord God Almighty." God said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" Well, let me ask you this. Is raising somebody from the dead part of anything? Sure. Is anything too hard? Well, no. I mean, God can raise him from the dead. He said he could do all things. Do you see the level of faith? It's absolutely amazing. And in the midst of the trial, the Bible tells us that he was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This evening, in your trial and in my trial, are we expecting God to work? Are we looking for those moments when God is going to shine forth and God is going to do something that can only be explained that God did it? Expectancy makes a huge difference in the midst of a trial. It's not the idea of, woe is me. I have this perspective of doom and gloom and everything's just bad and this thing's going to kill me. Well, that's just going to, you're just going to go downhill real fast, right? But I get in the midst of that trial and say, what is God going to do? How's God going to work? Because God is able. What did God say to Jeremiah? "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God had told Jeremiah in the previous chapter to go and buy the field. And in that chapter, when he told him to buy the field, Jeremiah was the one that had been prophesying that the Babylonians were going to take captive the nation of Judah and carry him away. And the Babylonians already besieged the city and he sees them. He knows that they're there. He's the mouthpiece of God. And God says, buy the field. Why? Because in 70 years, they're coming back and people are going to dwell here again. And listen, God was able and God did. And guess what? Cyrus, a Persian king, he says, hey, whoever wants to go back to Jerusalem, go ahead and go back. And then you start looking through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah and seeing how they paid for so many of the things through the treasure. It's amazing what God did. I was reading this morning, reminded this morning as I was reading in Proverbs 21, and it's not exactly how the verse goes, but I'm not going to turn there, but the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And the reality this evening is that we need to have that expectancy. Ephesians 3 and verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ultimately, it is for God's glory. But I wonder this evening, when we're in the midst of a trial, are we expecting God to work? Or do we have just the doom and gloom, woe is me, everything's bad? Because the reality is that if we believe the Bible, God's allowed the trial. God's the one that instructed Abraham. God's the one that promised Abraham a son in the first place. God's the one that promised the seed. And then God says, go and offer him up. And what is Abraham going to do in the midst of the trial? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, trial came in his life. He was tested. He was proved. The trials come in your life and in my life. What are we going to do? Is the trial going to destroy us? It's not intended to destroy us. God intends for the trial to develop us, that we would be strengthened, that He would be glorified. And how do we do that? We learn three principles in verse 17, 18, and 19. Keep on obeying. Just keep on doing what's right. Keep obeying the Lord. Focus on the facts, not on the feelings. Your emotions in the time of a trial are like a roller coaster, man. Aren't they? No, focus on the facts. Focus on what we know to be true about God's character and His nature and His purpose and His plan. Focus on those things. And then expect God to work. What is God going to do? How is God going to work? Because I know God has a purpose, and I know God has a plan, and I know that He said that He was going to work all things together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, and we know this. So this evening, I don't know if you've just come out of a trial, if you're in a trial, or if a trial is coming, but I know in life, I've lived not real long, but I've lived long enough to know that trials are part of life, something that we face. And so how can we have faith through the trial? How can we have faith through the trial? I hope this evening these are some super practical points, tips that will help each and every one of us. And we'll remember Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was tried. And what did he do? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for loving us. We thank You for the privilege to be able to be gathered here this evening. We thank You to have a Bible. Thank You for the example. I know we looked at a number of different passages this evening, and Lord, I pray that as we boil it all down, that You'd help us to have faith in the trial. Lord, help us to keep believing You, trusting in You. Lord, we expect You to work. We thank You for so many testimonies that You've given us through our own lives and through the lives of others, the recorded testimony in Your Word. God, it's just such a blessing. I pray that You would bless now as we have a time of prayer. I pray, God, that You'd be honored and glorified. Thank You that You hear and answer prayer. And Lord, we commit the time to You, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a bulletin this evening? Or we have none left, all right? So if you don't have one, I'm